League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Lies, feline, with a death wish. E right didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to hour 2 of the show. Programming note for tomorrow. I think we should have Raheel unless Methodist silences him. He's in a one-sided Twitter battle with Methodist for some hospital bills he didn't appreciate. They responded to him with seems like automated messages like, "Hey, we appreciate your feedback." And he was like, "Yeah, whatever. I've already tried to talk to you people. Screw you," for the most part. So maybe he'll talk about that unless they got to him.
He gets silenced.
Yeah, we'll see. He'll join us tomorrow, hopefully. And so will Michael Carroll, not for his weekly segment, but he will be producing the show because Sean will be producing
12 to 6.
Another show. We've got movement because we're out and about, not 7 to 12, but 12 to 6 will be out and about the next couple of days. Is tomorrow a tailgate?
I don't know. I'm going to be here.
So you haven't looked into it.
I have no idea where they occur.
I believe
it doesn't matter to me.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You'll find out when you play the imaging, I guess.
That's really it.
So 12 to 6, Paul Gallant and then the Killer Bees will be at Texas Tailgate tomorrow. And then on Friday, they're going to be at Carbach because it's tournament time. Out and about, go join them at those two locations to watch the games with them and get something good to eat. So Michael Carroll will produce the show for me on the next couple of days. He is the voice of the show. It's the one thing I wanted different from beyond what I do, but the one thing I wanted different is not to have, I don't even know the guy's name, the ESPN voice guy on the show.
I do know his name, but I don't want to put him on blast.
I don't want
the headline of Del Olalea blast.
I'm not gonna blast him. It's simply enough. I wanted a different voice on this show. That's all.
Jim Cutler's face.
Well, you just said his name. Look at you. I would say it to his face. Hey, Jim, I guess the work you do is great, but not for me. Just not for me. That's all. I wanted something different. That's why Michael Carroll is the voice of this show. Now he'll be producing the show the next couple days. Okay. Sean, I put something on the rundown. Speaking of dumb stuff we do, this is not dumb stuff we're going to do. It's dumb stuff Netflix is doing. We'll do that when we come back. It is football related, barely. But let's get to what I kind of led to before we went to break. The Texans, we know, they got Derek Stingley done. Nearly $90 million guaranteed, $89 million of it fully guaranteed. That's his extension, and it's bothering some NFL teams. They're asking the question, why would they do it this early? They had a year to wait, so on and so forth. They're questioning the move by the Texans. As if the finances and the way the NFL goes wouldn't lead to the Texans paying Stingley more if they waited. Like Trent McDuffie, who was drafted in the same year, so was Sauce Gardner, they're still waiting for new deals. So if the Texans can get something done with Stingley early, if you go by what some of these NFL teams are saying, why not do it? Have they not learned the lesson from the Bengals who waited and waited and waited and Ja'Marr Chase held them over a barrel and said, "Hey, not only are you going to pay me all the money, you're going to pay almost all the money to Higgins, or I'm leaving." And then Joe Burrow got involved to make sure both those guys got the money, as much as they might have sold the fact, "Hey, we want to keep them all together." Do you think if the Bengals had their way, they wanted to dole out that type of cash at the same time to two receivers?
Yeah. The idea of paying, what, like over $65 million per year to two receivers when you have a good quarterback? Because normally we see the move of, like, the Tyreek Hill and Waddle thing with Tua when Tua was cheap, especially, and to kind of elevate a guy who isn't viewed as, like, hey,
top five quarterback.
Yeah, just give him anybody, and he's going to do it. Joe Burrow is viewed in that way of, like, top five quarterback.
Which is funny because we don't know what he is, because no, he's always had.
Basically never done it.
He's always had. Even
his rookie year, he had T. Higgins, and then he got hurt after, like, six games.
And even in college, he had the best.
Only time he was good in college.
He had the best accumulation of weapons maybe of all time from the quarterback position. No, maybe except for Tua at Bama. They both had pretty good weapons.
Yeah,
but,
that's about it.
But yes, we have never seen him have to elevate a roster, particularly when it comes to skill position players. So we don't know, but what you're saying is right. The assumption would be that Joe Burrow would be just fine with Ja'Marr Chase and maybe lesser than two and a three. But
you saw the Chiefs make the exact opposite.
We think our guy's good enough.
Think their guy's good enough, so they trade Tyreek Hill, and they use that money, invest in the offensive line. Yes. And they won back-to-back Super Bowls, went to a third.
Yes, and we saw...
The Bengals have made the playoffs twice, right? In the last 4 years or something? Like, yes,
it was the first half of the last 4 years.
Yeah, and they went 9-8 this year, and... they're doubling down on it and being more expensive, being a more expensive team of the team that just missed the playoffs.
More expensive because they waited to pay the guys they eventually paid anyway. Like, if you're going to wait this long and franchise T. Higgins, I guess they didn't have the foresight to think that Ja'Marr Chase would be like, actually, give T his money.
Yeah.
And of course, then give me more money because that's how it's going to go.
Pay me more money. They weren't even, the Bengals weren't even negotiating against, like, the precedent set at wide receiver with give me more than Jefferson, give
it
me
was
more
the non
than
the precedent set of non-quarterbacks.
Yes, pay me more than any non-quarterback ever, and Myles Garrett signing a deal for $40 million a year. That's what gets Chase to literally, I think it's like 40.1. And so the waiting on it, like, they got hit on all sides by waiting on it, where to shift it back to the Texans. The Texans get the Stingley deal done before Sauce, before who's the other guy?
McDuffie,
and before someone in the next draft, Christian Gonzalez. Where these are all guys that when they sign their deals, maybe not all of them, but they're probably going to get more per year than Stingley. They'll almost definitely get more total guaranteed. More than Stingley, because they'll probably sign 4-year deals as opposed to 3-year deals. You see what J.C. Horn signed for? I think he got $100 million for 4 years, for 90 for Stingley. When you compare it to that, that is the value of getting the deal done early.
So I don't understand why NFL teams are taken aback by it. You wait, it's going to cost you. Now, the Chiefs aren't doing it currently because they have some constraints on their cap. That's why Joe Tooney's no longer there. The Texans had an opportunity to make the move. They made the move now, and they're set. And you don't think Stingley would have got more expensive the more time you waited? So I don't get the NFL's reaction other than that's what we've always done. We never pay early, and we're going to ignore the trend of guys just getting more money if you wait.
Is it because that he got basically a fully guaranteed deal?
That probably bothers
that
me,
it?
Too. But that wasn't part of the blurb from Schefter. That probably bothers them a lot, too. But it was just, hey, we don't know why they had to do it so early. They could have waited. Well, what was the rush? He still had his fourth year. He still had his fifth-year extension. They could have waited to next offseason.
And I get that if it's a player that you're not sure about.
But they're sure. Yeah, they're sure. As long as
he plays,
he's great.
If you're sure about a guy, just sign him.
There's no reason. He fits. I know he's been classified as a different type of guy, but he fits what they want. He's not a showy, however you want to classify that, off the field. He appears to be a guy about ball. He produces, and he was healthy last year.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's awesome.
Yeah, just give him the market and a little bit above market to set the market, and then you don't have to worry about him until you know, until he asks for a renegotiation about 3 years from now, earlier than you would have wanted. But that's just how it goes.
Yeah, it's with 1 year left on his next deal. That's when
they would be fortunate if he waits that long.
Yeah, it might be 2 years left. Yeah. Just because it, at that point it will be such a deal to have him at $30 million per year.
Yeah,
because he is going to be paid on his rookie deal this year, his fifth year option next year, and then the new money kicks in. So he won't be the highest annual cornerback. Probably, like, by the time he actually is playing on that contract, he will not be the highest paid cornerback in the league.
It's almost like in our lives where you want to take, hey, I don't want to pay right now, I'll take on some late fees. What? Why are you welcoming late fees? Just pay the price right now. It's going to cost you more later. But NFL teams think that's not a smart way to go about it.
Yeah. Pre-order. Get that 10% discount.
Yeah. Do what you can to lessen your costs.
Use the app.
It's just going to get more expensive. Stingley's not going to become a worse player as long as he plays. So, peace of mind. You don't have to pay him more than Sauce. You don't have to pay him more than Trip McDuffie whenever those deals come about. And now you have your guy locked in for the foreseeable future. But NFL teams and traditionally are not looking to pay a couple years early. And it costs them, just like it costs the Bengals. We'll see who it costs next. Maybe the Chiefs are paying McDuffie $34 million a year because they had to wait because of their financial situation. Okay, when we come back, Netflix has done. They've done quarterback. They've done wide receiver. Now they have a new show. And I don't think you'll be able to guess what position in the NFL they're promoting. I wish it was blind audio so Sean had to guess, but I just saw it, so he's going to be able to see the video. It's another position that will be featured on Netflix, and it's something no one could have predicted, but here it is. We'll play that sound when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. March is here. There's going to be games all day tomorrow, all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The best way to follow along with your bracket, or if you just, for the love of game, no bracket necessary. Just I just want to watch some ball and make some money betting or placing lineups, putting together lineups for March Madness. And that is what you can do on Prize Picks. They have every game this March. They got it. They have every game in basketball, whether it's professional, whether it's college. They'll have women's lineups available. You can do baseball when that gets started. You can do whatever you want on Prize Picks. You can mix and match. So say you want a night like tonight, perfect example. You have the Rockets playing, and then you have first four games later in Dayton. You can go with hey, I'd like Jalen Green to score more than 31 or to get more than 31 and a half points plus rebounds plus assists. Okay. I also like Tremon Mark from Texas, the guard from Texas. They've been playing with him with the ball in his hands a little bit more in the SEC tournament to some success. I like him to get more than 13 and a half points plus assists. He's a big game player. You like him in this kind of matchup against Xavier. And then what Prize Picks is offering is Jani Broome to score more than half a point in their game against Auburn's game against their 16 seed on Thursday. So you can put a little bit. You can watch the Rockets game with Jalen Green in mind. You can watch the Texas game with Tremon Mark in mind, and then you know that you're going to get five times your money with this kind of lineup with Jani Broome scoring more than a point tomorrow. So you download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 on your first lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Sean, did you watch Quarterback on Netflix?
I watched the first season when it was Quarterback.
Did you watch Wide Receiver?
No, I did not watch Receiver.
Neither did I. Well, let's see if you'll watch this. Netflix, in their tradition, is continuing, moving to a different position. Really, this all started with Quarterback, and then when they found out more quarterbacks didn't want to do it, they switched to the position most likely to have stars who want to be featured on a reality show. I did not know they had this in their bag, so they go from quarterback to wide receiver to this. Here's the trailer.
The greatest comeback in history. What a grab! Touchdown.
The key to success is relentless dedication.
Dream big, work hard, and never give up.
We're really trying to chase excellence every day.
Does it get heated? Yeah, it's a high-pressure situation.
Seriously? Mascots?
Is this actually the plan?
You know they don't even talk, right?
We're only gone for one season.
You're not really doing that.
Ridiculous.
Can I make another suggestion? Why don't we just do another season of Quarterback?
I'm in if you're in.
I'm in.
Did you really think Quarterback was going anywhere?
Quarterback is back, folks. They tried to trick you with mascots, but those voices you heard were Burrow, Cousins, and Goff.
Love it.
So we got Quarterback back.
I might watch this one. Those are three. That's three good ones. Cousins was good in season one of, or in his season of Quarterback.
And I think Burrow was one of the guys they tried to get for season two, and he's like, "Nah, I'm good." I believe.
Yeah.
And now he is back. And then they have.
They came in with a bigger
Goff.
Bigger bag.
I'm sure they did.
And Goff, star from his rookie year on Hard Knocks with the Rams, where he didn't know basic, like, adult facts.
I think they need to close the loop on that and ask him facts now that he's an just actual adult and see if he's learned anything.
Like
ask him the same
quiz.
Questions. Just ask him the same questions and see what he's learned. So, well, Cousins will still be a Falcon. People were surprised at the Falcons.
Yeah, because they filmed it all last year.
Yeah. So he will still be part of that team. But now he'll be a backup.
I mean, it probably won't be like super interesting.
Actually, no. He'll be benched in the season.
Yeah.
So that will be a part of the deal,
it'll
right?
Yeah, it'll be the events of last year will be presented on this. So you'll have Cousins rehab and, you know, trying to get back into it, having a great game, and then being benched ultimately for Penix. You have Burrow with everything that happened with the Bengals last season and how he was awesome, but they kept losing, basically. And then you have Goff on Detroit, probably like America's team last year.
We'll have
America's favorite team last year. Not actually.
They're never
going to care about them.
They're never going to be America's team.
They just rooted for them.
Yeah.
Once they lost in the playoffs, no one like called out of work the next day.
No, maybe some Detroit people did, but no one outside of the metropolitan area. Do you think we're going to end the season with Joe Burrow winning comeback player of the year?
Two-time player of the year.
Does the season end on Joe Burrow being handed that trophy, the only trophy any of those guys won last year?
And then a voiceover of him making the promise that...
That I'll never be back here again?
Oh, I thought he was going for the three-peat.
No! That means he has to have a devastating injury at some point in the future.
I guess you can't three-peat. You have to have a gap year in between.
Yeah, there's no way you can three-peat. You can be a three-time champion, or three-time winner, although I don't think anyone wants that. But it's very hard to be a three-peat comeback player of the year winner. Pat Riley's like, whatever it takes to get me paid. Somebody get that done.
It'll probably be some sort of.
Who's the candidate for this year to take over for Joe Burrow? He's like Captain America. The mantle has to be passed to someone else.
Ooh.
Who's the Anthony Mackie of this upcoming year? It can't be Tank. He'll be out all year. So maybe 2026 is Tank's year. But as far as 2025 is concerned,
like Anthony Richardson, I guess Anthony Richardson didn't get hurt though.
And will he even beat out Daniel Jones?
Oh, Justin Fields.
He'll have to come back from not being good.
Yeah.
It's well.
They've given it to guys that just weren't good before.
Not recently, though.
Yeah.
DeMar Hamlin. Did he even win it?
No, Joe Flacco
won it.
Who, what did he come back
from? He was
from?
Just off the, he just wasn't playing football.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess not being good is certainly an option, but Joe Flacco was very drastic. He wasn't even playing ball and came back. And of course, Joe Burrow's been injured a couple of times. So, we got to find that. Well, if Xavier Howard comes back, we go to him.
Oh, could, no, no. I get, he just got traded, but. Nothing actually bad happened last year. Geno Smith won in 2022. I thought maybe we could get two-time winner Geno Smith, but nothing bad enough happened. Alex Smith won after coming back from having his leg destroyed. Ryan Tannehill in 2019, what'd he come back from?
Not being good.
Okay. Andrew Luck, I assume that's injury-related. Keenan Allen, injury. Jordan Nelson, injury. Eric Berry, cancer, I believe. Gronk? What did Gronk come back for in 2014?
Did he have a devastating injury at some point? I don't remember. Maybe he did. Maybe he broke his leg or
Phil
something.
Phil Rivers. Peyton Manning, obviously.
Hmm.
Matt Stafford. Not like a devastating injury. He just got hurt.
Yeah.
Michael Vick. What did Michael Vick come back for in
2010? I believe that was prison.
Huh.
I believe so.
Could anyone come back from prison this year? I don't think so.
Only one I can think. Well, he's not in prison. He was in football prison. Xavier Howard, if he comes back and takes a deal and balls out, could they give him comeback player of the year after not playing all of last year?
I mean, ask DeMar Hamlin about how they give out this award, because since 2007, only Eric Berry's the only defensive player to ever win this award, and he came back from, I believe, cancer.
So it took a lot. DeMar Hamlin came back from dying on the field and didn't win it.
Not good enough. Did you see Joe Flacco's last six games with the Browns?
I also saw his final game where he threw the two pick sixes. That should have just. Well, I'm sure they do that vote before the playoffs. But
I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions on that run. People just didn't care.
It was just fun to see Joe Flacco back. And you had a guy who was playing football after actually ceasing to breathe, and still it didn't matter. Is the Comeback Player of the Year award of offensive award?
It is.
It's like the Heisman.
It's
unless Travis Hunter's involved.
It's been a quarterback award since 2018, or since 2017 when Keenan Allen won, and then Jordan Nelson won the year before. Eric Berry. Okay,
so they've even made
tight end, but then 13 going back to 08 with Chad Pennington's second one is a quarterback award.
They can't even make that immune to just giving it to quarterbacks.
No, you have to give it to Mike Vick.
You don't have to.
And it is just like Tom Brady in 2009. Like, you tore your ACL.
I'm sure someone else did, but you're not Tom Brady. So let's give it to Tom.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Burrow, the first time, it's like your rookie year got cut short. Here's Comeback Player of the Year.
I am not someone who goes on any crusades, but we don't have to make it this award strictly a quarterback award.
I don't know.
This one doesn't have to be a quarterback award.
Ryan Tannehill really warmed the hearts and minds of America when he came back
in 2019. I was so joyful watching all those in-breaking routes off of play action. Let's give Ryan Tannehill Comeback Player of the Year. What? What was so joyful about that?
That Tennessee Titans run captured America's...
It did not.
Oh, come on. People loved him handing off to Derrick Henry.
No.
Kids were in backyards in their Tannehill jerseys practicing, handing it off to a better player. That's what everyone was doing.
Sometimes I dream of he. They want to be Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
Like Ryan. I want to be like Ryan. I don't think anyone.
Admiring Ryan.
Maybe. not even Tennessee's
Tannehill the
that.
Thrill. Yeah.
No one other than making fun of him has ever called him the thrill Tannehill. Willie P, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. I hate saying that, but I did it because I'm so off by the Tannehill stuff to capture the hearts of America. Oh, man. Throwing A.J. Brown really got me going.
Yeah.
A tear in my eye. Maybe it's my Dolphins bias, but I don't think anyone was like.
I think it is. I think it. I mean, he did stink on the Dolphins.
He didn't stink. He just didn't live up to
the status. Below average.
Yeah. He was an average quarterback on a below average team. They didn't do him any favors, but he didn't do the team any favors either.
I mean, they made the playoffs with Matt Moore.
Well, that's because Tannehill got hurt.
I know.
But, yes, they did make the playoffs and get drilled by Pittsburgh, because that's the life of a Dolphin fan. Make a wild card round and get your ass kicked by a much better team. And two of the last three times it's happened with a backup quarterback. So shout out to Skylar Thompson. Now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
KD. KD move.
KD. No. He's
10 years ago, he saw the when he was a freshman at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Skylar Thompson is like the
rain from the grind.
The Royce O'Neal of and I'm insulting Royce O'Neal by making that comp. He's a Royce O'Neal. He'll join up on a team that maybe can carry him to, while he doesn't play that much, to a to playoff success. All right, Willie P, as I mentioned, we'll get to you when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
The most upsetting thing about that last segment was not you suggesting that the world at large was emotional about the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. It was me butchering the Like Mike song. Sometimes I dream that he is me. I said of he. Sometimes I dream that he is me. It's an old song. Shoot me a little bail. We'll get to this after we get to Willie P, but the Lions have proposed a rule of change to make the NFL more like the NBA. We'll talk about that. But first, let's get to Willie P. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I've been good. I'm good. You know, can't complain, can't complain. So, three things real quick. First thing, while your boy, Anthony Robinson, he's going to play the full 90 minutes this past weekend. Now he's talking about he's sick and he's not playing in the the semifinals or whatever.
Yeah, playing Tottenham is more important than playing some game against Panama.
You know what? You take that back.
No.
Because nothing is more important than the U.S. Men's National Team crest. Definitely not the Fulham crest.
Tournament that credit to the U.S. for dominating it. A Nations League? Well, get out of here.
Hey, don't be surprised if Mexico or Canada beat them. So that leads me to my next point. Did you see what Pacho Monday was like? Oh, the U.S. is going to be a world power in the next 5 to 10 years.
I saw that.
I thought that was hilarious, because here's the thing. When your players are injured and the next best thing you can call on is some rando from the MLS, how do you expect to become a world power? Like, until we get more players in Europe, and I've been harping on this since the beginning of your show. Once we get more players in Europe, then maybe we'll have a chance of becoming a world power. But until then, I think he's just gassing us, you know, saying what he needs to say, coach speak or whatever. But the last thing I want to get to is, yesterday I saw that Kraven the Hunter hit Netflix.
Netflix, yep.
And I can't remember if you and Sean and the other guy talked about it. Can't remember his name for some reason. He was clowning me last week about Running Point. I'm going to call in on Friday, by the way. So that movie, I like the idea and the concept, but the filming was so terrible. I mean, the scenes, like, you could tell that, like, they were in a studio in the beginning when they were supposedly in Africa hunting or whatever. And it's just like, I felt like they could have, for a Marvel movie, they could have done so much more with, like, the background of the theater. It all looked so staged and so fake. I couldn't get past it. Terrible movie. I wish old boy wouldn't have ever done it. It was a bad look for him. But, anyways, I wanted to get your opinion on it. You guys have a great day. Sean and Mace, what do you do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Have not seen it. The other guy you're talking about is Michael Carroll. He'll be producing tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. Who Sean pumped his fist when Willie P could not remember Michael Carroll's name. In a way that seemed over the top. Michael would be very insulted by that. But Michael Carroll will be here tomorrow. Not to do a segment. I'm sure we'll talk some movies. He'll join us he'll be here producing again on Friday. And we'll do more of that, so you can call in for that, Willie P. I have not seen Kraven. It's a Sony movie. Marvel would say, hey, don't put that on us. That's a Sony production.
Yeah.
If you want to blame someone, blame them.
We don't make bad movies like Kraven.
We do, but we put more effort into them than Sony does. We
make
try.
Other kinds of bad movies.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Yeah, we generally don't do it on purpose. Sony's so bad at it, we question whether it's on purpose or not. Kraven on Netflix, you can find that right now, if you so choose.
I'd recommend it.
Sean doesn't mind a bad movie.
It's a good bad movie. Or no,
It's an enjoyable bad movie. Not a good bad movie.
It's like
movie.
So it is a lot of the later Sony stuff, Sony superhero stuff was like a throwback to the 2000s bad superhero movies that would be made. That's what this is. Where you're just like, this feels like it should have debuted playing on FX on 2 p.m. on a random Wednesday.
Sure.
That's what it feels like.
And
it feels like I should be sick home from school and watching this movie.
And you won't get out of there until like 2 hours and 7 minutes.
They keep it pretty tight, but honestly, probably not tight enough.
Yeah, Craven, 2 hours and 7 minutes, not tight enough.
Well, you have to make room for all the commercial breaks in the middle of this movie.
No.
I know.
No. On Netflix, 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Again, it feels like you should watch it. And
then it'd be 3 hours.
I have to watch commercials.
If it was on FX, it'd be a three-hour experience for you.
Yeah, but you get some clarity lucky, in commercials. In the
if
middle.
You're lucky, it's 3 hours. Woof. I'm not watching that, Willie P. I would say, everyone, I'll say it again. If you're on Netflix, you want to watch something.
When Craven shows up in an Avengers movie and you're like, who is this guy?
No, I know. I've seen enough of promo material to know. Oh, yeah, that dude's Craven. Cool. I'm aware. I'm too much on the internet to be surprised that that's Craven. I don't need to see this movie. Because they
just
wouldn't
know the backstory.
Because they would not. The thing is, they would not connect any of the backstory. They're going to pretend like that movie didn't exist if he somehow finds his way. And he's also, of course, Wanda's brother as well. So how would they get that done in Marvel? Well, they're doing Robert Downey Jr., so they can do anything.
Yeah, come on.
We've got the multiverse.
That guy kind of looks like me.
People have dreams of both all Spider-Mans, three Spider-Mans being together, maybe even throwing in Miles Morales. My dream is to have Aaron Taylor Johnson's Kraven meet up with his, what the hell is this character's name?
Quicksilver.
That's my dream. And then have Ralph Boner in there as well. I want it all. Throw them all in. All the bad Marvel characters, at least as far as their movie appearances, put them in a movie.
Okay.
Or a TV show, probably. See how it goes. I don't think Kraven fighting a rhino and then fighting Quicksilver is going
to
work.
You have to watch it just for the rhino.
I don't have to.
The rhino is so funny in this movie.
I don't have to watch it. But thanks for the recommendation. I never trust you on anything like that. Because you are a Schadenfreude TV and movie watcher.
Yeah.
That's your deal.
Do anything but bore me.
That's a good approach. Whether it's bad or good, just don't bore me.
Yeah, that's what I look for. Just don't be boring.
I don't mind that. That's not a bad way of going about it. Okay, before we go to break, let's get to this. The Lions, I said, would like the NFL to be more like the hated NBA. What do I mean by that? They'd like to wipe the importance of divisions out of the playoff picture. If you win the division and you have the best record, cool. You get the one seed, but everything else is about record going forward. So, as it stood last year, you had the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings with some of the best records in the NFC. Their seeding didn't reflect it because they didn't win the division. Two of them had to wind up behind the Saints in seeding. The Lions would want that to be changed. Apparently, the Chargers tried to implement this last time to do it was the Chargers, and they didn't get much support, so the Lions are the next team to try to turn it into divisionless playoffs. I don't think the NFL is looking to wipe the importance of winning divisions out of the game. So I would suspect that it doesn't get a lot of backing.
No. I'm fine with like you win your division.
You get a playoff home game,
even if you're not like better than the team you're hosting. Like I guess what it is that it's the same thing with the college football playoff too, where people are like just so, I guess, convinced, like so hard on like stacking the deck for the team with the best record, or like looking for the most like fairness. Like where every team has a good shot at it, where I'm like, no, I'm okay with you having an advantage because you win something, because you're the best of your grouping. I'm okay with you getting an advantage there. I don't know.
So the Bucks were the team that you would say, why do they deserve a home playoff game? because they won the NFC South. The Texans played a team with the same record at home, right? Did the Chargers win 11?
I forget.
So it'll happen occasionally, and the Lions would like to avoid that. But my only contention would be, to your point, I don't mind it too much either, would be, should a bad team who wins their division, particularly if they're a cold weather team, get that type of advantage? Now, of course, you could also say, hey, just win your division, warm weather team. You wouldn't have to worry about it. But if let's say the Browns, and they're playing in a good division, somehow win their division because all the quarterbacks get hurt.
Or like the Bills. The Bills go 9-8.
Yeah, in a bad division. That's probably a better example. Because it's far more likely it would happen to them than it would the Browns. The Bills go 9-8 and win their division because the division isn't good, whether it be the youth at quarterback or, you know, just the fact that Justin Fields isn't good and Tua gets hurt again, which could happen.
Yeah, and then like a, whatever, 11-7
11-7 Chargers AFC team. West team comes to town, and it's a blizzard, and they win a game in conditions that you wouldn't expect any team to perform well in, but certainly not a team who plays in a controlled environment consistently. That would be my only problem with it. But once again, if you win your own division, you don't have to worry about it. So that's the answer to pretty much all these issues.
And I was going to say, like, we're okay with that, though, being the deciding factor for a team that has a better record, but not a team that wins the division. Because to me, winning the division is, like, that is actually more meaningful than being second. Like, winning your division at 10-7 is more meaningful than going 11-6 and being second place.
You know what? I mean,
I don't think that's crazy.
I'm not going to fight you on that at all.
I also think that there's not a huge difference.
It depends. And some of that has to do with scheduling. Like, not only your division, but who did you face? Like, they don't play the same schedule. So if you are not a great football team, and the metrics tell us you're not a great football team, but you had a soft schedule and you were able to win your division because your division's bad and your schedule is bad.
It's also, if they're this bad,
but it's all,
they're just going to lose the home game.
But unless my scenario plays out where it's 20 degrees and no one can operate in that condition except for the team who's used to it. And no one's really used to that condition.
I was going
to
say,
no one expects the Chargers or any warm weather team, because history will tell you, to go into a spot like that and win a game. It rarely, if ever, happens. That's why it's always such a big deal when those matchups are set.
More teams are building domes. They'll be fine.
Well, the Browns are next.
Yeah.
Bills are next, too.
Build a dome. This in, what, 10 years, this won't even matter.
Yeah, the Bears.
Every city will have a dome.
Yeah, the Bears, I think their proposal is to have a covered stadium, right?
Yeah.
The Packers won't ever do it, so they'll be one of the holdouts. New York teams, their stadium's relatively new, so it won't happen. But, yeah. We're getting to the point where no one's going to be playing in an actual cold weather environment for the most part. Okay, we got one more segment to go here. If you are a fan of bad teams advancing because they happen to win a terrible division, you and Sean shake hands.
Not advancing, just having a home game.
Yeah, because
if
right.
you're that bad, you'll just lose.
Sometimes home home field and weather has an undue part to play in a game, but there's always the pushback. If you're good enough, just go win the damn game. That's always you can control your destiny. Don't be a punk, and the other P word, and be affected by cold weather. Go win the game. You're a football player. Just deal with it. Okay, one more segment to go. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll close out the show with this. We started with college basketball. We'll end it with college basketball. This is from College Sports Only, just some random account at College Sports O. They have tracked down, simply by Googling, where some of the recent legends of the tournament's past are now. We talked about DJ Burns a couple times in reference to Kevin Keats at NC State and not allowing a tournament run to get your coach a giant contract or give your coach a giant contract. NC State did not do that, so that's why they were able to fire Kevin Keats after a subpar year. We'll see what happens to Texas if Rodney Terry goes on a run or not. DJ Burns, the star of that team, who people were talking about, hey, maybe we should put him in the NFL. DJ yeah. Burns had no interest in playing football. He is now playing in South Korea for the Sky Gunners. There is a city name that I'm not going to butcher. Okay. I'm going to avoid that, but he's playing for the Sky Gunners. Oh, maybe I can do this. Goyang Sono. That's what it seems like for a person who speaks English. I may be wrong on that. He plays for them. Can you remember Jack Golkey?
Yeah, Jack Golkey.
Jack Golkey, the player for Oakland who looked like he was a 35-year-old, knocking down jumpers yeah. to eliminate Reed Shepard's Kentucky team?
yep.
He's playing for the G League Pistons.
Oh, whoa.
So he's pretty much back home as far as where he played yeah. college ball.
Yeah, I was going to guess, I don't know.
Europe or Asia, farm. Too.
Yeah, oh.
Motor City Cruise, that's the name of the G League Pistons team.
Yeah.
Remember Doug Eddard, the wispy mustache yeah. dude for St. Peter's?
Yeah.
Holloway's team?
Shaheen Holloway.
Shaheen Holloway, who's now at his alma mater.
Yeah.
Seton Hall?
Yes.
Do you think he's playing basketball somewhere?
No, commercial real estate.
He is maybe that's his day job, but he's the assistant head coach or assistant coach at Bergen Catholic. He coaches basketball. School. So I'm sure he's making money someplace
I think that's
else too.
New Jersey High School too.
Yes, it is. Bergen Catholic High School. Let's go to another guy you would know. Ali Farouk Manesh. The guy who hit the jumper to eliminate Texas.
Yeah.
In 2010 for Northern Iowa. He is an assistant coach for Colorado State. That's where Ali.
Okay.
He was it a
trendy 12?
Was it a half court shot that he made to eliminate Texas?
No, that was in 2017. That I forgot who made that, but that
I think he hit a big three to kind of put them away, right?
Yeah,
and a big upset.
Maybe he made a half court against Kansas.
I don't remember exactly, but I know he knocked down a big jumper to eliminate Texas, or at least help eliminate Texas. It sealed an upset win over Texas.
Yeah.
To go. Actually, I'm wrong again. It's not Texas. It was Kansas.
Yeah,
it was not Texas.
I knew. I was like, did they play Kansas and win, or play Kansas and lose in like the Sweet 16 or league?
Yeah, it was Kansas.
Yeah. Northern Iowa. They hit a half court jump shot to beat like Shaka Smart,
a Texas team, but not Ali Farouk Manesh. He helps beat Kansas back in 2010. And there are others that maybe names you wouldn't recognize, but those are some of the guys of big time. Shots made or just big time runs. Bryce Drew, Valpo, made the big shot to beat Ole Miss way back when.
Coach somewhere, right?
He is the head coach of a team in the tournament.
Bryce Drew, coach. Mid-major, I'm guessing?
Yes.
High Point.
Grand Canyon.
Okay.
One of the religious schools we referenced earlier in the show. He is the head coach there. Clear others. Like Godsham God, he's coaching with the Mavericks. But as far as people of recent memory, of course, Kevin Pitsnoggle, that name, back in 05 and 06, he is a middle school principal.
I was going to say, I'm just wondering, maybe because the guys we started with are all like 25.
Yes. If you go further and further back, some of these guys aren't going to be in basketball.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was ready for one of them I could add him on LinkedIn, which I guess Doug Eddard, I could.
Yeah, he's a head coach. I mean, an assistant coach.
Assistant high school coach.
Yeah, he's only been out of school for a couple of years, so should he be a head coach someplace?
No, he's got to work his way up.
That's right. Maybe
no handouts?
Maybe he'll take over. Yeah. No handouts. You're not associated closely with Miami Athletics. No handouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Just handing like
you don't know Jim Larinaga.
Just handing boots. Not even Jay Lucas. At least he coached at big time schools. Just handing assistants the baseball job.
Yeah, you just go to Columbus.
Exactly, because their dad is a booster, or somehow you have a connection with Columbus. But there it is. Some of the prominent names of recent March Madness past and what they're doing right now. We will see who's next on the list. Who's the next Jack Golkey? Hopefully, you're not rooting for the team on the other side. You don't want to be the team to watch as the guy who looks like you would never recruit him eliminate your team. That's the worst feeling in the world. Like we wouldn't touch this guy if we got passed up by 40 guys and he's knocking down jumpers to beat us. That's part of the magic, right? That magic will continue today. Later today, Texas will get their shot against an actual team we've heard of in Xavier. we'll see how they do. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. Paul Gallant's up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.